A frequent guest on Issues Etc., Aaron Wolf, died on Easter Sunday, April 21st, 2019. Learn how you can support Aaron's widow and his six children at issuesetc.org/AaronWolf. In his memory, we present this Issues Etc. encore.
You are aware of several challenging issues. One, licensed lay deacons. The 1989 Wichita Resolution stated, quote, the title deacon be established by which a layman would be addressed while he is temporarily serving in word and sacrament ministry in exceptional circumstances or in emergencies. This title would distinguish him from an ordained pastor. After 27 years, we have blown way past this and other definitions of that resolution. According to Scripture and the Confessions, if a man is serving as a pastor, he should be examined, called, and ordained a pastor. That's the doctrine of our church.
That's Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking this week at the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod about licensed lay deacons. Just one of the issues that they took up, a difficult issue, a 27-year deviation on the part of my church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, from one of the fundamental documents of its founding, the Augsburg Confession on the issue of the pastoral office. And to many people's great delight and to some people's sadness, they reversed that 27-year deviation and began to deal with licensed lay deacons. Does it signal something broader about a church body like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about religious conservatism? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 13th. Joining us to talk about conservatism and the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Aaron Wolf, Associate Editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, and author of a recent column, The LCMS, A Triumph for Conservatism. Aaron, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
You, like many Christian conservatives, and I do as well, tend toward pessimism, especially in our cultural context, watching church after church, given to the pressure to compromise on clear biblical teachings. What happened this week that gave you a glimmer of hope?
Well, my goodness, three resolutions that passed with a remarkable margin. You look at resolutions that happen at these conventions, and there are some that are good, and then you think, but you know, everybody expects us to say those things. Things that have to do with the sanctity of marriage and so on, important things that we need to say. But the way that these three appealed to Scripture, to the Lutheran confessions, and to natural law was just intriguing for me, and I think actually represent something bigger than even the points that they make, because really they represent a kind of turn toward a conservative ethos that is something that you just don't hear in denominational assemblies these days. The one that stands out to me is the one against the conscription of women. The idea that, and I've written about this and talked a lot about this, the fact that there's this great surge now politically to force through the signing up our daughters, America's women, for selective service. And really, there's no legal impediment to that now, and there's every reason to think that that the courts may even force that. And so it's something that's coming, and politically speaking, and for the convention to address it, to have a fairly strong resolution, although, you know, I have my quibbles with it, but minor quibbles, but the overall force of it, appealing specifically to the biblical concepts of man and woman, these are countercultural, radically conservative concepts that it used to be embraced by everyone, and then when feminism came along, they were embraced by the left, and now it seems that that kind of thinking has infected everyone, so that we are always afraid and have to preface and say, well, we're not bigots, and we don't hate women, and we think that women can be anything they want to be, just like the Disney Channel tells us. However, here's this little Bible verse here that we just can't avoid, and then the left just comes back with a wave, a tidal wave, and destroys the weakness of that argument. These were stronger arguments because they were fully orbed. They came from a perspective, from a foundation that was rooted in the natural law and the idea that even unbelievers understand something basic, though, of course, not enough knowledge to gain them salvation or even to give them the power to obey, but a sense that even unbelievers have, that there are certain things that are right and wrong. And it's something that Scripture bears witness to in numerous places, but particularly in Romans chapter 1. And natural law thinking is just falling on hard times today because it is so radically countercultural. And we, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, of which I'm a member of a church in the Synod, I'm so proud that the church body was willing to go on record, and by such a large margin, so they can't be spun to say, well, this is just, a little confusion with which button to press and so on. That when a large majority, I think in the 90% range, voted for this resolution. And, of course, the other two, probably the one that everyone thought was going to be the most contentious, the one that had to do with the licensed lay deacons or those serving essentially as lay pastors, that President Harrison's very careful conservative plan was voted for. I'm very impressed with the way that was organized and the fact that now pastors will be the ones who act like pastors. It's something we confess as Lutherans. And I see some similarity underlying all three of these, the third of which being the resolution to reaffirm biblical teaching on man and woman in the church, which was the most contested, I think, of that and the other one on the question of sexuality with women, the conscription of women. That one was very little contested from the floor, but this one had what I expected, the folks taking a microphone saying, well, we do this at our church. We have women who help to distribute communion. We have women who occupy this office that we call elder in the Missouri Synod, which we as Lutherans don't really identify with the presbyteros of the New Testament, but rather as a man-made office. But nonetheless, it does take some kind of public leadership over men as related to the assisting of the pastoral office. And so, as Pastor Benjamin Ball said when he spoke at the microphone, if you take your family, take your children to visit another Missouri Synod church, and you see a woman up front vested and distributing communion, the child's natural question is, why is there a woman pastor? And, of course, they're not always vested, and somebody pointed that out. But nonetheless, this is a role that natural law tells us carries the weight of authority with it, that Scripture and natural law are very clear belongs to men. So all of these together seem to me to come from a place that was uniquely conservative, and it gives me great hope for the years to come if we who are conservative in the Synod can winsomely talk about these things and back up these resolutions with teaching.
Aaron Wolf is our guest, associate editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture. We're talking about a triumph for conservatism at the LCMS convention this week. When we come back, turning the tide, a 30-year tide, of unlicensed lay deacons. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you interested in Lutheran education? Join the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at a unique conference, July 19 through 21, 2016, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speakers include the Reverend Dr. Scott Ashman, Dr. Angus Manouge, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak. Visit ccle.org for more information. That's ccle.org.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine about an article that he wrote recently titled The LCMS, A Triumph for Conservatism. We're talking about conservatism in the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, currently being held in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Aaron, one of the issues that you mentioned there, the turning the tide, really a 30-year tide on licensed lay deacons, that pastors should do what pastors are called to do. That was 30 years of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod deviating from its confessional position, the position of its confessional documents on the pastoral office. Your thoughts?
Yes, well, one thing that immediately comes to mind is the fact that I know so many good men who were pastors within the Missouri Synod who had used that became kind of a wedge in their brains for them to leave not just the Missouri Synod but Lutheranism, and it was sort of a how can we say we confess what the Augsburg Confession says and what Scripture teaches, and then turn around and just openly allow this violation of it. In fact, bless it at this Wichita and repeatedly at these conventions where it went the wrong way, as you said, for 30 years. I think about that because those men were tempted by other things, I think, and that this became an excuse, and that excuse isn't there anymore, and it's about time that it happened. But praise God that President Harrison and so many others worked hard to come up with a plan to try to address it, and I think that, you know, regularizing and making sure that these men who have served in these roles as pastors who were not pastors, that they get the training they need and the ordination so that they are recognized by the church as pastors. I mean, this is critically important, and so I'm just very grateful to those who voted for it, and I'm again especially grateful that so many did.
Not all did, and some did and will continue to argue that what the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod did in these 3 points and others at this convention in Milwaukee was turning the clock backward, was moving the church body backward, and I think they also would argue in some cases impeding its mission. How do you respond?
That is that I do expect that as well, and you know that's the thought that occurs to you when you see yes, some voted the other way on all three of these things, and I think there are more, as the eruption on the interwebs indicated afterward, who are very upset about these things. But you know, the church's role is to speak prophetically, to speak the word of God, and it is countercultural in American society to recognize that here's somebody who can do what you may not do. That's one of the commonalities I find with this question of women, you know, serving communion foisted upon them, or the military service. Society tries to put pressure there. Because ignoring natural law is a way to strip away power from traditional cultural roles, from fathers and from mothers, and from local governments, from society, from the places where for time immemorial there has been authority vested and recognized. And one of those has been with clergy. And, of course, Lutherans have a very particular biblical view of clergy, of the call, and we confess it, and the Missouri Synod is a confessional body, which by definition. And so for us to go along with the cultural trend is to say it's really not fair for us to tell someone you may not do something that, let's say, you've already been doing, or that even you're doing a good job at. That is missing the key argument that God calls a man into office and vests him with an authority that others don't have. And so it causes doubt when you have a man who is not in the office, who is up administering the sacraments. We don't need more wedges for the devil to use to drive us away from confidence and hope in the gospel and in the sure pronouncement that God gives us and then feeds us in the sacrament of the altar. We don't need an excuse to doubt that. And so when someone is looking up there and saying, well, this guy's not a pastor, and he said some things in the sermon that sounded a little weird, and of course he hasn't been to seminary anyway, but our synod allows this, that creates a potential for that kind of doubt. And I'm glad, I'm thrilled that that's over. And again, I think that we have to be very patient but firm in writing and teaching and preaching about this and underscoring what the doctrine is, because I know that those who oppose it and oppose this resolution are not going to be quiet.
You use that term conservative impulse in your first answer there. With only a minute here, Aaron, summarize this. Why was the 66th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod a triumph for true conservatism?
Conservatism, despite the political brand today, the actual concept of conservatism is a rootedness in tradition. And I don't mean the big T tradition of an infallible magisterium from Rome. I mean the idea that God made the world, that he didn't make us into amoeba or monkeys or some primitive thing that eventually got better and better and better And therefore, what we want is human progress. What we want is to be what God made us to be. That's conservatism in a nutshell, that we are preserving the traditions of human society that, though tainted by sin and by sinful people who fail, at least we're failing in opposition to those moral standards, those truths of natural law that cultures have all embodied in various traditions that slowly change over time. And so these were things that were affirmed by this convention from that type of rationale, from a conservative rationale. And we just need to see more of it. We need the SBC. We need the PCA. We need other bodies that are conservative and floating toward the middle to witness what the Missouri Synod did here and speak with that kind of bold witness.
Aaron Wolf is associate editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, author of a recent column titled The LCMS, A Triumph for Conservatism. If you're a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or another confessional creedal church body, like Aaron just mentioned, you need to do two things. First, you need to read this column. And second, you need to share it with your pastor and as many fellow parishioners as possible in your local congregation. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for the article, The LCMS, A Triumph for Conservatism. Aaron, thank you very much.
That is humbling, and thank you so much.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time with Dr. Paul Kengor, professor of political science at Grove City College and author of the book God and Hillary Clinton, A Spiritual Life. We're going to be talking about the theology of the Democratic presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton. The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is called Sexual Morality in a Christless World. It's a lot of what we've been talking about here with Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. book of the month for July at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for it on every page of the website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this great resource, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Hillary Clinton, her faith life. Some people think that she is a-religious or irreligious. It's not true. In fact, she has been a lifelong United Methodist. Her views have changed, though. We'll talk about that with Dr. Paul Kengor right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.